Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I'm going to be joined by Matt Stevens. He's going to talk about some of the things that he saw today in the Illini's spring football game. Can't take too much from it, but there are still some points that are worth talking about, and Matt will be in studio to talk about it in just a minute. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Have you ever tried to buy gold and silver and felt like you were talking to a used car salesman? That's because the precious metals industry is like the Wild West. Salesmen can say pretty much anything or make any promise they want without repercussion. But Genesis Gold Group is different. They're a faith-driven Christian precious metals company and believe in educating their customers, not pressuring them for a quick sale. Genesis Gold Group focuses on customer service, not sleazy marketing. Genesis Gold Group is named after the first book of the Bible for a reason. Proper stewardship of wealth is their specialty. Find out why they've earned a 5 out of 5 rating through the Better Business Bureau and how they can help you secure your wealth or retirement through physical precious metals. Call right now to learn more.
800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. That's 800-238-3714.
And as promised, we are here, Mike Kegley with Matt Stevens. We're going to talk about the spring game today. Matt, you haven't had much opportunity to see what's going on there because Coach Bielema has brought his NFL-ness where everything could potentially be stolen. So closed practices, not much time for the media to take a look at. So first off, give us a few things that you had on a checklist that you wanted to watch today and pay attention to get some answers.
Yeah, normally you could appreciate this, Mike. I'm usually the guy that looks at the spring game and is telling all of our subscribers that want to make grand conclusions based off of this exhibition of football. I'm kind of like what you do with your dogs and cats in your house. You're like, no, stop it. But when we only get to see three practices of 15 minutes total and 10 of them are stretching, like I have to make conclusions off of the football that I'm allowed to watch. The most football I've been allowed to watch this spring is the spring game. And so I take everything with a grain of salt because it's not real football. Like it's very, very vanilla based and scheme wise. They're trying to get the base stuff done. But I did want to see a couple of things. I wanted to see what was translatable to what we've been told and haven't been able to watch, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
Like does the offensive line combinations that we've been told end up coming to fruition? The answer to that was yes. Like, Melvin Priestley is in line to be the starting right tackle, you know, the transfer from Grambling State. Yep. I wasn't sure that was going to happen, but sure enough, that's what's happening here. You know, how does the second string offensive line look against the first team defense? Because if Bart Miller is going to feel great about the nine to 10 guys that he can travel with already this spring, well, then that second team offensive line should look pretty good. Well, the second team offensive line looked pretty decent. Like, I think that Bart Miller should feel good about nine guys being able to put in a Big Ten football game. And I mean, it's not to say that like 6, 7, 8, and 9 are going to be as good as 1 through 5, but you're not going to see a, you know, an unbelievable Mount Everest drop off like you saw last year with one injury. Like,
right.
You saw, I mean, I think Bart Miller rolled into fall camp thinking he had 4 Big Ten linemen that were ready to go last year. He might feel like he has 7 or 8 going into fall camp this year. So that's a good thing. You can draw no conclusions off of running back because there's only 2 scholarship ones that are healthy. We knew that going into the spring game. But I thought Aiden Loffrey looked the part, right? I mean, if he's going to be the other half of the Central Illinois power group that Bielema was talking about with Caden Fagan, then yeah, that he looked the part, right? And then the last thing was the thing I wrote about on IlliniGuys.com, which is I think the quarterback room is more solidified and in a healthier place than Brett Bielema has ever left a spring ball since he got to Champaign. I think that Luke Altmaier has developed, better than he was last year as the, you know, designated starting quarterback for the 2024 season. And if you remember last year, they got John Paddock really late before fall camp started as a walk-on, and he ended up being the backup. And because he had started so many games, you know, in the Mid-American Conference for Ball State, I don't think Illinois has to go portal shopping at quarterback this, you know, this second spring window or right before fall camp opens up for the first time in the Bielema era. Like I mentioned in our story, they bring in Art Sitkowski and during Bielema's first, you know, right before Bielema's first fall camp, right? They bring in Tommy DeVito and, you know, they bring in, you know, John Paddock, and they brought in Luke Altmaier, right, from the portal to solidify the quarterback position. Illinois has always gone to the portal, even way back before during the Lovey era for quarterback. I don't think they have to do that. I thought Donovan Leary looked the part. Now, Donovan Leary's never played a college football game yet. And this is his third year at Illinois. There's a reason for that, but I thought he looked the part and he looked like somebody who looked confident and it looked like somebody that if you have to put him in a Big Ten game, you know, there's an air of confidence that you can move the football. And I thought, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. And I also think that this staff, kudos to them, Barry Lunny and Brett Bielema and all of them in the offensive staff have done a great job of keeping Donovan Leary out of the portal. I think he could have easily gone in the portal, and there are a lot of G5 programs that would have loved to have had a Donovan Leary compete for their starting quarterback job this upcoming season. I think the quarterback room is really, really healthy and in a really good place for Barry Lunny going into the fall, and I think that that's going to be key for an offense that thinks that they're going to take steps forward after what they did in the last half of the 2023 season.
You know, a couple of questions that I had going into this, or at least, you know, is, are you seeing any type of separation to see who might be the best wide receivers in your eyes?
Well, I think Pat Bryant clearly is the alpha of the group. And I think there wasn't anything in the spring game that he needed to show today to prove that. He's just done it. You know, he's done it. They trust him. He's the guy that's come back. If you're Luke Altmaier and you're going to go throw with people, you know exactly how Pat Bryant likes to be throwing the football, right? And no matter what the route is. You're right, though, on those outside positions, you know, this is Malik Elzey's time, right? And he had a great jump ball to Luke Altmaier for that touchdown today, but he also dropped 2 passes. Yep. And that was the problem last year. it's what George McDonald sent him to the scout team for. You know, I mean, it was like, dude, I can't have you out there. Like, your number one job is to catch the football. Like, can't have you out there if you're not doing it, right? And I also can't have you out there over a Casey Washington if you're not doing that, right? And so there's not a Casey Washington out there anymore. So there's an open spot there. And I think I have been told that Illinois wouldn't be against, you know, looking in the portal for an outside receiver. But I don't think they necessarily have to, because I think, look, Ashton Holland looks the part. And then you and I both know, Mike, that 6'5 receivers don't grow on trees, no matter how skinny Ashton Holland is. And I can tell you right now, Illinois staff and George McDonald did a hell of a job of getting him out of Mississippi. Because again, 6'5 receivers with hands like his don't grow on trees, right? And so I think there's an opportunity for him. There's obviously an opportunity for Malik LD, like I said. And then I thought the guy that I've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, because the staff doesn't want anybody talking about him, is Colin Dixon, the redshirt freshman who did not play last year, but in the normal developmental role of a Brett Bielema program, went through the entire year as a redshirt. And I thought, based off of his high school tape, I thought he ran cleaner routes in his high school in Ohio than Malik Elzey did, you know, at Simeon High School. And that translates. And you could see it on the touchdown pass, but from Donovan Leary down the sideline, where he gets behind the first team secondary and really makes a play. And so I think Illinois is okay at the outside receiver position. I think that they have a coach in Justin Stepp that wants to coach them and can and has the chops to do it. I think they're okay at the slot position. I mean, there's no Isaiah out there anymore. I mean, but Hank Beattie is an adequate option. Kenari Wilcher has an adequate option. I look forward in the fall camp to see a healthy Mario Sanders, the JUCO receiver that they got in this past recruiting class out of Iowa Central College. Just got nicked with, you know, I think multiple ankle injuries throughout the entire spring, and you just never saw his full game come to fruition. But like, his numbers in JUCO were staggering. And if that's translatable at all at the Power Conference level, then he should be in the mix for that. So there's competition there. I just don't believe that Illinois, in its financial situation, can go out and get a Keon Coleman the way that Florida State got a Keon Coleman in the portal late last season, like something like that. So I just don't think wide receiver is a huge problem. I don't think it's a problem at all if Malik Elzey can get rid of the dropsies. I really don't. I like what I saw out of Cole Rusk. He really wants to be here. He really wants to be the pass catching tight end. We're picking nits here, and I apologize, because I think that this is a really small nit to pick. But I think Illinois could telegraph itself right now based off the tight end position on what they're going to do, run or pass. Because I think you saw today, if they want to run, 85's out there, and that's Tanner Arkin.
Yeah.
Because he can move people. I mean, physically, at 265 pounds, move people. Not to say Cole Rusk can't, but Cole Rusk is in the game, you know, number 14. Hey, we're throwing the football. And I think you could telegraph yourself a little bit. But, hey, that's life without Tip Ryman, who's going to get drafted this upcoming week. So, I think offensively, Illinois looked pretty solid. On the first and second teams in a lot of situations. They've been talking about Alex Kapka Jones too on the outside. I think there's a length disparity and there's a speed disparity, but damned if that young man just doesn't continue to get open. And I felt that same way, you know, about Donnie Navarro when he was at Illinois, and I'll be darned if Donnie didn't have 600 yards receiving his final year at Illinois before he graduated and went to Northwestern. So, if he keeps making plays, he's going to get in the mix. So, I think the receiver position is healthy. I think it could, if I felt like Illinois had the financial resources to do it, yeah, they could go get a dynamic outside guy in the portal and be something special. But I do think, given their limitations in the portal, I do think that you know, they can work with what they have right now. And I think that they, you saw outside guys make plays today. And I don't think you saw Pat Bryant as one of those guys that made a whole lot of plays today, simply because I don't know how many snaps Pat Bryant played, because the last thing you want to do is get your alpha in that room hurt. And he came out healthy, so mission accomplished.
The other question I had that came during the game was, Josh McCray had one of those carries where he comes up gimpy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's anything more there? Is it just, you know, he's learning, you know, relearning the whole getting hit? Because I don't know that anybody's had worse luck on taking nasty hits on the way down and then causing him problems.
You'll see it on IlliniGuys.com. Mike, they gave him to us after the game. I did video with Josh McCray, so I don't think he got injured. So that's good news. I did mention to him that I think he's had bad injury luck that I have never seen in a long time. And he seemed to think that, you know, injuries happen. I mean, he's not doing the woe is me stuff. Like, he's not like immediately agreeing with me in my assessment that he's had bad injury luck, even though he's probably had bad injury luck.
Yeah.
Also, I think you got to understand, I know where Josh McCray's from, in Dothan, Alabama. Like, and this sounds really corny. He's never been hurt before. Before that injury, you know, 18 months ago, he had never been hurt before on a football field, and he never had to do rehab before. And that's not an easy thing, right? And so I think mentally and emotionally, he's had to get over some things as a college student, as an adult college student, that people maybe take for granted. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Mike, you and I have both agreed on this. I have seen Josh McCray against Big Ten defenses go for 100 yards, go for 150 yards, go for 200 yards. You don't luck your way into that, okay? Yep. Worst case scenario, if Josh McCray is your third tailback, I think the tailback room is pretty good at Illinois at that point, right? And so if your tailback room right now consists of a depth chart of Gagan Fagan, Aiden Loffrey, Josh McCray, and then a healthy, for the first time ever since he's been at Illinois, Jordan Anderson, and then an incoming freshman in Khalil Valentine that'll arrive in August, like, that's a healthy running back room. Now, I think Barry Lunny and everybody else in Brad Bielema himself would admit, two injuries later, that's not exactly the where you want to be in terms of a running back room, right? Now you're on thin ice, right? So I've heard a lot of people on our board say that Illinois should go after a tailback in the portal. Cool, but like, I think Josh McCray has solidified himself as the third running back. So if you're bringing a tailback in from the portal, what are you telling them? Like, you know, we're going to let you fight for the number two spot. Like, that's not a real attractive sell to anybody that's in the portal right now, right? And so it would really be only an attractive sell to somebody who's trying to like go up from like FCS maybe or Division II. And at that point, hey, what are you doing? Right. So I think there's a lot. I think they're going to try to roll with these five guys and hope for better injury luck than they had in 2023. I don't necessarily think that's a bad plan, because the injury luck they had in 2023 was pretty catastrophic, and it's something I haven't seen in a long time.
Now, talking some serious questions here. Did the Illini stumble upon a new kicker?
In David Alano?
No. Coleman Hawkins.
It would be a safer option than like Brett Bielema initially suggested, and or at least I think Coleman initially suggested, and have him play tight end. Like,
yeah.
Don't you think Rodney would just like walk out on the field himself and pull Coleman out of practice if he was trying to play tight end? Like,
well, I have to admit two things. First off, he did make the field goal, so you got to give him credit there. Second thing is that shoe may have went through as well. He might have actually scored 6 points on that.
And then for anybody that may hold out hope, and I mean, it's not a 0% hope or a 1% hope that Coleman Hawkins is back on the basketball court next year, maybe for Illinois. I don't know how much I want him full sprinting around without a shoe on like he was doing on an artificial field, but no, in all seriousness, yeah, I think they have one of the nation's best field goal kickers that nobody's talking about, in David Alano. If Brett Bielema can be trusted, and he has not missed from 45 yards in throughout the entire spring, and I've seen David kick before, and I tend to believe that might be true if the wind isn't completely ridiculous. And you and I both know, Mike, that at Memorial Stadium in the fall, the wind can get pretty ridiculous, right? He did miss a 37-yarder today on Saturday, but that was into a 25-mile-an-hour wind. So I give David a little bit of benefit of the doubt on that one. But I do think that David was one of the best field goal kickers in the country in his recruiting class. And I don't think there's going to be a large drop off, if at all, from Caleb Griffin to David Alano on a serious note. On a non-serious note, it was just kind of nice to see Coleman out there. I hadn't seen him in a while. And let me kind of try to take a serious angle on your, you know, Coleman kicked a field goal. Yay, great. But he was also interacting with a lot of Illini recruits, football recruits that were there today. And for whatever reason, I think Coleman has become a very, very good ambassador for the University of Illinois and the athletic department. And it was a hell of a nice gesture for him to kind of tell them, hey, this was my experience at Illinois, because he did that a lot for the football recruits that were there today. And let's not forget, this was the first Saturday, you know, spring game in the Brett Bielema era. So there were a lot more recruits than there had been than on these Thursday or Friday night deals that were dictated by Big Ten Network.
Yeah. And I have to be honest with you. And this just comes from getting a chance to talk to him post game. I really think that if he's, you know, wants to come back, I think that is a unbelievable asset for the Fighting Illini. You've got a player who is a true Swiss Army knife, can do a lot of things other than guard 260-pound plus centers. But other than that, I mean, he can do almost anything. And then you have a guy who, I think you would probably agree, if you sit down and talk the X's and O's of basketball with him, this is not a kid who just runs from point A to point B because he memorized the offense. He knows why he's doing those things, and he's trying to get them done. And I do think, you know, for me, about the best news I could hear for next year is to find out that indeed he is coming back. Now, we don't know what he's going to do. The talent that he has many options that most of us don't have, but I would be very excited if he were to come back.
For somebody that I thought 2 years ago was going to get in the portal and leave, I think Coleman Hawkins has become a hell of an ambassador for the University of Illinois and the athletic department as a whole. Coleman's got a story to tell, and I don't care if you play football, baseball, volleyball, softball, whatever, he'll tell it to you. He'll tell you why he stayed. I think he's a great ambassador. I think also based off of, I think you would agree with this, Mike Cagley, but like based off of his social media game, was there anybody else that was going to kick that field goal today? Because you knew that Coleman wanted that out on social media.
My two favorite guys on social media are Hunter Dickinson and Coleman Hawkins. But I think Coleman's got a better subtle game than Hunter ever had. Hunter's kind of over the top, whereas Coleman knows how to kind of nudge people, and then they're like, was he coming at me or was he not coming at me? And I think that's a talent that's not easy to teach.
I think wearing a Maryland t-shirt and flipping the bird, like, and putting that out on social media, that's not subtle. Like,
yeah, I'll be with you on that. Yes. I will say, if you watch the film, that's like, I mean, I got to give people credit. If you got that second down, that's not easy to do.
That's like saying the Joe Pesci character in Goodfellas was subtle. No, that's not subtle. All right.
He had his days, but right. I thought the McDonald, I mean, I like anytime you can figure out how to use Ronald McDonald in a tweet about athletics. I mean,
he
come on.
A hell of a time with Ronald McDonald these last few weeks, especially transfer portal to the, you know, portal combat, as we call it. Like,
he's got a heck of a game there. So now, let's spend just a few minutes as we kind of wrap this up, but a few minutes talking about maybe the opportunity areas. And both of us, I watched on television, you watched live and could hear the pads cracking and see what the guys look like up close and personal. And trust me, folks, when you're there and you can see it that close, it makes a big difference. When we were at the Big Ten tournament and you got a chance to see, you know, Terrence Shannon right up next to AJ Storr, you could tell that you were looking at the two best at pure athletes on the floor, and it was evident. You don't maybe necessarily get that when you're watching on television. So to me, what I was seeing is it looked like there were some opportunities on the defensive line for improvement, and the defensive backfield wasn't as good as what I'd hoped. I think there's a lot of talent back there, but you also have to weigh that with the situation of having a coach who was there and sadly was forced to stop coaching due to health issues. So there's a lot of factors there. What did you see compared to that?
I think they do have the financial resources for this. I think Illinois is going to be highly invested in trying to find a cornerback in the portal. And that's not to say they're not completely satisfied with Caleb Patterson, because I think since, he was on the second team last year coming from, junior college in Mississippi, he's made a leap, but he's not Devin Witherspoon. Like, you don't feel good about putting him out on an island and having him be man on man with Big Ten wide receivers. And then on the other side, you thought that was going to be Zach Tobe, and he went in the portal. Like, right. So yeah. Now you're looking at like a Tyler Strain again, who they don't want to put out there because Tyler Strain is not going to grow, and he's 5'8" and a half. Right. And so that's a problem. He's great at nickel, but like, maybe we got to put him out there. Jakeem Clark is about 165 pounds soaking wet. So do you want to put him out there at corner as a redshirt freshman? I don't think they feel great about that. The cornerback depth suddenly looked real shaky the minute that Zach Tobe got in the portal. And I think our subscribers should have recognized that the minute that Mike Farrell said, hey, all these portal departures don't mean anything except for the young man who had 19 Power 5 conference offers and decided to come to Illinois, and now he's in the portal again, right? And he started 5 games as a true freshman. So if Aaron Henry and whoever the new coach is going to be, who Brett Bielema said they're going to hire in mid-May, which the process seems like – that seems like a reasonable process, to be honest with you. I think the new DB coach is going to have to get in the room and go, okay, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. This is who I can work with. This is who I can't work with. But I do see them potentially going in the portal for a cornerback. I think they're okay at safety once Matt Bailey comes back and proves that he can be a starting safety in, power conference football, which he has not done yet. If he proves that, then I think Miles Scott on the other side, and then Xavier Scott is somebody who has also been hurt. That's the other thing, Mike, is that, and one of my colleagues, Anderson Kimball, who writes for Lee Enterprises, kind of point out to me, there's like 3 guys in the defensive backfield that weren't healthy today, that didn't play in the spring game. So you get everybody healthy back, and maybe the defensive secondary looks a lot better, right? And I would agree with that, but I don't think the depth is where you want it to be at all either. And I think that kind of the spring game kind of proved it, right? So I think if you can get help at a cornerback position, or at like a nickel position, I think that's look, these coaches are seeing the same thing I am. Like, they don't like the fact that Colin Dixon got deep for a 30-plus-yard touchdown pass with a second team offense. Like, that's going to be concerning to them. They don't like the fact that Alex Kapka Jones got deep on back-to-back 40-plus-yard bombs, right? They don't like that. That's not going to work come the fall. And so I think the secondary is really shaky right now. And I think there are pieces like a Miles Scott, a healthy Matthew Bailey, Caleb Patterson's made some jumps at the other cornerback position, but you don't have an alpha there. You had guys back there, even when he was acting up and getting 15-yard penalties, Taz Nicholson was an alpha opposite of Devin Witherspoon. And then they thought Zach Tobe was that guy. He's not in the building anymore. And so you've got to replenish that. And then, look, I think the defensive line has concerns. They are very, very high on Alex Bray. And I think they're very, very high, with rightfully so, on Dennis Briggs Jr., the 24-year-old transfer from Florida State. They look the part. I would absolutely agree that they look the part. My concern is depth at defensive line and the alphas that you have walking out the door. I mean, Johnny's not there anymore. Keith's not there anymore. Quite frankly, somebody who I think is going to be a key, either seventh round pick or an undrafted free agent, Denzel Daxon's not there anymore at nose tackle. And I'm sorry, but I looked at both the first string and the second string defensive line. They both just got blown off the ball today. I'm sorry, but like, you bring in, and I don't mean to point him out because I think he's had a really good spring, and he's a multi-year transfer. He's a transfer with multi-years of eligibility, and I think he's going to be a good player. But a Anish Sledge from Auburn cannot get blown off the ball the way that he got blown off the ball today. Or like, you flip it and you see that and you go, damn, Josh Kreutz might be one of the best centers in the Big Ten when it's all said and done after the end of the 2024 season, right? But you cannot get blown off the ball the way that, you know, the defensive line on both the first and the second string were getting blown off the ball today. It's becoming drastically obvious that the depth that defensive line needs to improve when fall camp rolls around, or your depth that you have at outside linebacker, that rush end where you have Gabe Yakis, Seth Coleman, Daniel Brown, those guys need to play at an optimal level. And quite frankly, from what I saw today, Mike, you probably need to get all three of those guys that I just mentioned on the field at the same time. And I know that Gabe Yakis doesn't want to hear this, but if he's willing to put his hand in the ground a little bit more than an outside linebacker normally would, I think this defensive line at the line of scrimmage looks a lot better. It just, I think I'm of that opinion at this point. Now, I don't know if that's what makes Gabe Yakis the best football player ever, because I watched Owen Carney damn near have like 10 sacks in a season and almost get drafted because of what Brett Bielema's and that 3-4 bear front did for him as a stand-up linebacker, rush-in linebacker. So I think Gabe Yakis can have, you know, a 10-sack season if everything works out great and he's in that two-point stance, right? I think Seth Coleman is just an athletic freak in terms of arms and all of that. And then Daniel Brown's junior college numbers in terms of sacks are ridiculous.
Yeah, they were.
So my guess is that Brett Bielema sees this, Aaron Henry sees this, Terrence Jameson all sees this. If you're trying to get your best 11 on the field, the three I just named probably need to be on the field. I think that makes the defense look a lot better. What I like the fact that they use the spring game for is that, hey, we're going to play you at the position that we've played you in all spring. We're not going to, like, you know, trick you up today and try to make the defense look great. So I think there's holes there. I think outside linebacker is about as good as it can be, top to bottom, really. And, you know, I think, you know, Clint's got a really good unit that he inherited about 2 days before spring ball started when he got hired. Yeah. So that's a really good thing. And he played the position and was an NFL draft pick and was a, you know, all Big 12 player at Texas A&M. And I think he's a really good coach. So I think they have a really good coach there. But you're right, Mike, the defense looked shaky today. I mean, whether we're talking first string or second string defense, there's still a lot of questions that we roll into August with now with Aaron Henry's unit, and they've got to get those solved because it was the Achilles heel of why they went 5-7 last year. And, you know, if we all saw it, if Johnny Newton wasn't wrecking things on defense, this Illinois defense looked very, very pedestrian. And I thought today, without Johnny and Keith and Denzel Daxon in that front, you know, three defensive line unit, it looked very pedestrian. And so I think that they have a lot of work to get done, you know, before August rolls around that they need to figure out. And I think they have some scholarships to work with. If they want to go portaling, I would suggest cornerback, and I would suggest defensive line if you can find it. And because I think the scheme is very, very player friendly, that it's not going to take very long for for guys to learn. And I, or you need to see an uptick on guys like T-Rod Edwards, who, you know, he needs, yep, he needs to take a big jump like Denzel Daxon did. Alex Bray needs to continue to take that big jump. Jeremiah Warren played snaps last year as a true freshman on the defensive line. He needs to take some jumps. Anish Sledge needs to take some jumps. You were a transfer from Auburn. We're expecting things from you. These are all guys that are really good football players, but they've got to take jumps that younger players sometimes aren't asked to take. And so that would be the concern if you're an Illini fan and if you're an Illini Guys subscriber going into this fall camp, is that the defense kind of looked shaky, and they look shaky pretty much at all three levels. And that's a concern.
Yeah, I thought a couple other things that jumped out at me. I thought Vernon Woodward played pretty good, you know, yep, for a freshman. And, man, he stuck his nose. He was in a lot of plays. I'm not saying he was the perfect player or anything like that, but I'm saying he got in on, you know, had three solos, four assists. So, you know, good for him. That's not easy to jump out there, and he's not like massively bigger, you know, than anybody else. So I thought that was interesting and also good for him. So congratulations out there. And I thought JoJo Hayden had, you know, a decent game as well. So as you look at these guys, was there anybody on that defense that surprised you or made you think, okay, maybe there's a little more there than what we thought?
I've never seen Dennis Briggs Jr. in an Illini uniform really do anything competitively, and I was impressed. Yep. If he can stay healthy, I'm not saying he's Johnny Newton, but he's definitely deserving on being on a Big Ten defensive line. Like, that's somebody that will right now, based on what Illinois is putting out there at defensive line, he's going to constitute a double team block right now. I mean, just to neutralize him. I really liked again, it's a bare front, so I'm going to mention all five. I saw a lot of instances where Gabe Yakus and Seth Coleman were in the backfield. Yep. Like, so that's good, right? And you saw that a lot last year, and, you know, they would miss plays, right? And then when they miss a tackle, when that person, I'm not saying them specifically, right, that position misses a tackle, it goes from being a 3-yard loss to an 18-yard gain.
Right.
Just like that, right? So I think fundamentally they understand where some of their, you know, problems were early on last year. I think Gabe Yakus is a better overall football player because of the quote-unquote struggles that he had. Let's also remember he had 4.5 sacks and was like, you know, fourth or fifth on the team in tackles. Seth Coleman had 4.5 sacks. He was, you know, it was a relatively pedestrian looking season. Then you go back in the stats and you're like, well, it wasn't that bad. But if that kind of length is in the backfield as often as I saw it was, and it wasn't necessarily because the Illinois second team offensive line couldn't block him. They were making plays. And so I even got Seth Coleman afterwards to kind of admit, well, we kind of know what they're running. So, like, I kind of know what I'm supposed to be. And I'm like, oh, so you were cheating. He's like, well, I wouldn't call it cheating. But, like, if I know what the opponent is going to do, like, I'm going to go where I think the football is going to be. And so instead of, you know, where the football is. And from that standpoint, that's kind of like football IQ, right? That's developing, you know, football IQ that Bielema always talks about, right? So that's good to hear from Seth Coleman. I did hear from Miles Scott in the secondary. He pointed out some of the freshmen, including Vernon Woodward, who, quoting him, they have no fear.
Yeah.
One thing I'll tell you is that they have no fear. They may not know what they're doing, but they have no fear. And so that's good. I mean, I don't think that they're overwhelmed by playing college football. That's always good. I am continually impressed. I think Archie McDaniel has a good group to work with. Dylan Rosiak is physical. I mean, I'm sorry, but like you don't want to get him in the phone booth, like at middle linebacker. I think he's going to be good. Kiana is obviously out for the entire spring. When they get him back, that improves the entire middle linebacker room. I thought JoJo had a really good day as a true freshman coming in and really not knowing what he's doing and not completely understanding the entire concept of the defense. But, you know, Also, he's on his second position coach as a redshirt freshman. And he's kind of making his way, right? And so I think there's a lot of encouraging things about the inside linebacker room. I love the outside linebacker room right now, with the three guys that I've mentioned before. And they were in the backfield an awful lot today. So that's good. If they can get home more often than not, it makes your secondary look a lot better. Trust me.
Yeah.
So also, again, we keep being told that when Matthew Bailey comes back and is put back at that safety spot, all things will be right with the world. I look forward to that because, one, Matthew Bailey hasn't yet proven that he can be a top level safety when given a starter level responsibility, simply because he's been hurt, not because he hasn't been able to play well. He just hasn't been able to play. He's gotten hurt. He dropped a weight on his foot and then he blew his shoulder out one snap into the Penn State game. Awful, awful luck for, you know, a promising year for Matthew Bailey. So we keep hearing that. And then, yeah, I think the outside line, your hope is that you can develop the defensive, the interior defensive lineman that you have, your Alex Brays, your Jeremiah Warrens, you know, on and on and on. Dennis Briggs is, you know, you hope that those guys continue to develop and move on as maybe the outside linebacker room carries you in terms of being able to make disruptive plays in the backfield. And then you can maybe filter that toward your developing interior defensive line, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
That's the way that Aaron Henry wants to play this. I think it would be the smartest way to go right now. And you saw a lot of encouraging things with that. I think that if you look right now, Mike, you know, this, we have the thread on IlliniGuys.com on our board. I have unofficially Illinois at 82 scholarships, which means three are available. So if Illinois wanted to try to bargain base shop in the portal for a corner and a defensive lineman, I would think that that would be a really good play for Aaron Henry's defense. But if this is what they have to work with, then you have to put faith in the idea that A, the new DB coach is going to come in and have a plan to work with who he's got to work with, because that was what Gibby was going to do before he had to leave. He wasn't going to make any excuses. And I do believe that, how do I put this? I think Terrence Jamison, is continually getting more and more development out of the guys that he's recruited in that defensive line room. Alex Bray, Jeremiah Warren, you know, some of the interior guys, your Sledges, your T-Rod Edwardses, they're continually getting better. It's just they were at such a starting point that there's a reason why they were under-recruited. But, you know, there was a point where Johnny Newton was under-recruited too, and he was being asked to play by Lovie Smith as a true freshman, and it didn't go great. So we'll see. But I do think that if your outside linebacker room at Illinois can somehow carry the water, your secondary is going to look a lot better and you're going to see a lot more disruptive plays in the backfield, if that makes any sense.
Yep. No, that's perfect. That's perfect. And thank you so much. I know it's been a long day over there covering the game. We really appreciate you taking some time here this evening to give us a rundown on that. And of course, if you look at the bottom of the screen, you'll see you can follow him at Matthew C. Stevens on Twitter. So don't hesitate to do that. Of course, I'm at Mike Kegley on Twitter. And of course, you can get at @Illini_guys and follow all the news there. Get you on Twitter. And of course, come to youtube.com for the podcast in a video form. If you got a strong stomach, if you are a little bit, you know, faint of heart, you can just listen to us audibly and not have to look at us. Eye on the Illini is on every podcast place that we can get it put on. So it's easy to find us out there. And of course, if you go to IlliniGuys.com and you subscribe, not only can we give you all the stories that you see out there on a daily basis, but we can also bring in other things on our message boards where if we can't source things, you know, rumors, innuendos, we can't get a source to confirm them. Sometimes we can at least give hints or talk about things that might happen. And our IlliniGuys.com subscribers aren't surprised when things happen in Portal Combat, et cetera. So we would love to have subscribers. So go to IlliniGuys.com on the internet, become a member on our site, or go to IlliniGuys.com on YouTube. Look for our channel there and have fun as well. Matt, thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Yep, and we will be right back. Thanks.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-485-8801. 800-485-8801. That's 800-485-8801.
Thanks so much to Matt Stevens for coming in today and talking about what is going on here at the wrap-up of spring ball. Of course, there'll be more excitement with the football team. Just like basketball, the transfer portal is open in the football world, so we will see if there are any comings and goings. The Illini have some openings, as we've talked about, so we will hopefully have a few people coming in after Coach has had a chance to see where the weaknesses are in the spring game. And as you well realize, it is portal combat at highest levels in basketball as Coach Underwood and the staff are trying to get people to come to the players to come to the University of Illinois and looking at a new coach as well. So there's never a shortage of things to talk about here at the Illini Guys. Until you hear us again, go Illini!
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit HighFiveCasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families, where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits, while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.